Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
This headline podcast is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
Breaking news from The Athletic.
Just before the clock struck midnight, literally and figuratively, for the Mets and Francisco Lindor, the team and players strike a deal. Tim McMaster here, along with The Athletic's Mets reporter Tim Britton. It's 10 years, $341 million. We'll get into the money. It hasn't been a great offseason, Tim, for the Mets franchise overall, but in terms of baseball, Lindor was the big addition. So what does this extension mean for Steve Cohen as he starts his first season as owner?
Well, this is confirmation of what Mets fans expected when Steve Cohen became their owner over the offseason, that this was a guy who was coming in as the richest owner in Major League Baseball, that he was going to spend in a way commensurate with the New York market that the Wilpons didn't spend over the last decade to 15 years when they were owning the Mets. So, you know, Lindor was the main acquisition they made in the offseason. Obviously, he was the landmark acquisition for this new ownership and this new front office. And extending him now gives you a legitimacy that yeah, you are going to spend this way. This is a new operation. This is different from how it worked in the past. And this is different, and it's going to operate differently moving forward. You know, the previous biggest contract in Mets history was David Wright's for $138 million. This is more than $200 million more than that. So that shows you the level of commitment Steve Cohen has and kind of the magnitude of his vision for running this team a little bit differently than they had been run in the recent past.
So there was this deadline, right? Lindor made it very clear that he was not going to negotiate a deal during the season, and he's a free agent at the end of the season. So they did have this deadline, which I think for Mets fans, it got stressful, I think, over the last 48 hours or so. There was talk of the dinner earlier in the week, and then there was delay and no deal yet. Do you think from a team perspective there was ever really any doubt that this would get done?
You know, I think talking to people in the organization, there was pretty significant doubt that this would get done on Monday and Tuesday night of this week. So I think, you know, deadlines work. We know that in journalism, that's what prompts things to get moving at the last minute. And Lindor had been pretty firm about it. You know, you hear guys all the time say, you know, I'd rather not talk about it during the season or something like that. And Lindor was saying, I will not talk about it during the season. I will go right to free agency. That is fine with me. So I think that motivated the Mets a little bit more. And, you know, both sides seemed entrenched where they were, just less than 24 hours ago. But they were able to both move off of their original numbers and get to what I think is a pretty fair point, a fair compromise for both of them in the middle of where they both were initially set.
Yeah, and that big number, obviously, the $341 million. But there's more to it, obviously, than that. These contracts are all different with different things. So just kind of break down that number a little bit for us.
Yeah, so it's $341 million over 10 years. It's a $32 million annual salary. So that's $320 plus a $21 million signing bonus. $5 million of the $32 million each year is deferred for 10 years. So starting in, you know, the contract runs through 2031. Starting in 2032, Lindor will get $5 million a year for the next 10 years. So he'll be paid by the Mets through 2041. So another two decades. But the 341 gives him a single $1 million more than Fernando Tatis Jr., who signed in mid-February. I had not been sure that the Tatis deal was a significant one in the Lindor negotiations, but where this ends up certainly makes the case that it was a sticking point for the shortstop.
Yeah, he certainly had that number in mind, no doubt. All right, so this, it feels like a great fit, right? Lindor's star power, the smile, the bright lights of New York City, it all just seems to fit. But there's New York's different than Cleveland, you know? The questions he'll be asked, everything's a little more intense, obviously, in New York than Cleveland. This spring, since he hasn't actually played a game for the Mets yet, but this spring and spring training, has he shown things that kind of show you that, okay, yeah, this really is a great fit?
Yeah, you know, the Mets have been about as praiseworthy as you can be about a new teammate this spring with Lindor. You know, it starts with manager Luis Rojas, who has called him Coach Lindor for the way that he has worked with his teammates, the way that he's set a tone in getting to the clubhouse early, getting on the field early, mentoring other players, and kind of, you know, he everyone I've talked to has talked about his baseball IQ and the way it rubs off on you. You know, Michael Conforto told a story of, you know, they're on the backfields one day playing in a B game just to get some extra at-bats in, which is kind of an easier day for a Major League Baseball player. You're getting 7 or 8 at-bats. You want to see where you are. And Lindor is off on the side also working on his base running during that stretch. And it kind of told Conforto, oh, I could be doing other things too here. I could be improving myself more. You know, Lindor has talked about not wanting to kind of rock the boat. He wants to be a guy pulling on the rope with everyone else. He doesn't want to be the guy in the clubhouse, but he's kind of seamlessly assumed more of a leadership mantle along with someone like Conforto and Jacob deGrom, guys who have been here for longer. And it's been a pretty easy transition for them all. You know, he's the same age as a lot of their best position players. He fits into that core really well. And from all accounts, you know, we're not in the clubhouse, but from all accounts, it sure seems like he's fit in really well, both on the field and in the clubhouse.
All right. Thank you for joining our breaking news coverage. Go to The Athletic's new headlines section for much more on this story. To get access to all of The Athletic's great sports content, including the great writing of Tim Britton, visit theathletic.com/headlinepod. You can join right now for just $1 per month.